brakes on. No, I'm saying, no, the brakes. Guys, why aren't the brakes working?
Because I cut the brakes. Wild card, bitches. Yeah!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, follow me on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. If we're not on your favorite app, you tell me. We'll get on your favorite app. Make sure if we're on your favorite app, 5 stars, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Write something nice, 5-star review. Tell us you love to listen every week. That's about it for the housekeeping. We have a sponsor for today's episode and one that I'm very, very excited about. The sponsor is Statement Games. So this is going to give every single listener, the opportunity to win 2 tickets to Week 17 Giants Cowboys. And here's how it's going to work. You're going to go to statementgames.com. You're going to go ahead and sign up. It's free to sign up. It's free to enter the contests. What Statement Games is it's sort of a hybrid of daily fantasy, regular fantasy, and gambling. Now, you're going to enter the Gotham SN NYG Weekly lobby. And again, if the lobby fills up, another one's going to form. So as many of you that want to play, you can all play. You're going to enter the lobby, and you're going to see anywhere from 50 to 100 different prop bets for the Giants-Titans game that's this Sunday. You're going to take your 10 favorite prop bets. We're talking totals. We're talking player props. You're going to take your 10 favorite, and you're going to rank them in order of confidence, 10 to 1, 10 being the most confident, 1 being least confident. The top 6 of this week get separated. Congratulations, you're moving on. We're going to do the same for Giants-Colts on the 23rd. The same thing, same props. You're going to rank them, and the top 6, you move on. So the top 6 of Giants-Titans and the top 6 of Giants-Colts are going to compete against each other in Monday Night Football, and the winner of that contest gets 2 tickets to Giants-Cowboys. What could be a very meaningful game for both teams, and who knows, maybe Eli Manning's last at MetLife as a New York Giant. So go to statementgames.com, be sure to sign up. Weiss and I are going to be playing, compete against us, and hopefully you'll be lucky enough to win the Giants tickets. It's that simple. Statementgames.com. It's free. Let's get it popping. All right. Weiss. We're a day delayed on this one. I'm feeling a little bit rusty. But
how are you? I had to go back and rewatch the Redskins game because I completely forgot everything.
Yeah, it's been the one day layoff is weird, man. I can't imagine how athletes are when they either got to play on a short week or play, you know, a Monday night after a Sunday. It's weird. But we're back. We're a day late. We're happy to be doing this. And let's open up with Giants Redskins. I'll start with you. I'll let you open up with your thoughts because you said you rewatched it. It's fresh in your mind. And
yeah.
Again, for the second week in a row, I had a lot of fun watching the Giants. Putting up more than 30 points is a special occasion. Putting up at least 30 back-to-back, you know, doing it against the Bears. And then the Redskins, they sort of stink, but, you know, that defensive seven is...
Sort of?
Yeah, it's, you know, nothing to scoff at. Mark Sanchez is fucking brutal, but...
I mean, the Redskins are just about, like...
Lifeless.
The worst run team in the National Football League. I mean, I can't think of a worse owner than Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
It's crazy.
But yeah, for me, it's like, I don't know. I'm having fun again. People think I'm a miserable fuck because I'm only pointing out the flaws of the Giants, but when you're 33-47 over between 2013 and 2017... There's a lot to pick at, and I mean, listen, I'll be the first to, you know, call out when Dave Gettleman does something positive. I've said it before. Big fan of Lorenzo Carter, big fan of BJ Hill. I mean, the guy has brought in some great draft picks. It doesn't exclude some of his highly questionable free agent decisions. But we're going to talk Giants Redskins first. Again, I had fun. It was a fun game. You saw flashes out of a lot of guys. I'll throw it to you first. There are a few areas that I specifically want to touch on, but where do you want to start?
I mean, I'll just start with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I mean, I have never in my life seen a running back like this before. Like this guy, the balance, the footwork, the speed, the power. I have not seen something like this.
The coaching
ever.
Of the offensive line.
I mean, listen, we talk about the offensive line, but the way this guy runs the football.
No, I'm saying that you know that viral clip of him coaching up the offensive line before his touchdown.
Yeah, of course. Yes. I did see that.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Like, this guy really is a generational back. Like, I'm watching this guy, and I watched that 78-yard run multiple times, and that's sort of the thing that's in everyone's mind. But some of these other runs he had, like, he had one run where he had no business, you know, getting back to the line of scrimmage, but he somehow hit, I believe it was Josh Norman, with such a mean stiff arm.
Yep.
And Josh Norman was assaulted in this game.
Sterling Shepard, by Saquon Barkley.
There were other people that just destroyed Josh Norman in this game. Like, it was, if this was out on the streets, that's assault. it was bad. It was brutal. But Barkley is just amazing. Like, you can see this guy is a complete package. You see sort of Barry Sanders in him, and then you watch Earl Campbell. Like, I went back and I watched some YouTube highlights of Earl Campbell and how he used to run the ball and how he had those big, huge thighs, and, you know, he's sort of like Earl Campbell, and it's just crazy. Like, I'm trying to put a comparison together, but it just seems like he's got a little bit of Barry Sanders, a little bit of Earl Campbell, a little bit of Adrian Peterson, a little bit of Emmitt Smith. Like, he's such a complete back, and he's so gifted. I mean, it's just amazing what the Giants have with him, you know, in the backfield. It's an amazing player. On top of that, you got to give credit to the offensive line. I thought the offensive line is playing a lot better, especially after the bye. A lot of people point to Jamon Brown, but I look at it's more than that. I mean, you're seeing Will Hernandez improve game to game.
Will Hernandez has been, like, low-key one of the biggest improvements from pre-bye to post-bye.
Yeah. Then Nate Solder, he's having another strong game. He had another strong game. And overall, you see this offensive line starting to form continuity. Now, with that said, this offensive line is still under construction. Jamon Brown is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. Spencer Pulley is going to be restricted free agent. So they're still going to have to address those two areas. And on top of the fact that they need a long-term solution at right tackle. So for the short term, going from now going forward, you have to like the continuity that's being built in the offensive line. They're playing together. There's not a lot of miscommunications. That's something that we saw earlier in this season. Defensively, I mean, B.J. Hill, Lorenzo Carter, Grant Haley, some of these young players that are getting opportunities, you're starting to see them improve on a game-to-game basis. And you like what you're seeing from them. A lot of it is the quarterbacks that they're playing. But remember, these are rookie players with a lot on their plate, and they're taking it, and they're doing their best, and you got to like what you've been seeing from them. So overall, I think the Giants are headed in the right direction in terms of building a culture, building a strong locker room. And I think that was the main goal, really, coming into this season. Mm-hmm. If you look at all the decisions that was made by Dave Gettleman, bringing in guys like Michael Thomas and trading for guys like Alec Ogletree, who are leaders in their locker room, and even Jonathan Stewart. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that that's a great signing or a good signing. That's a horrible signing. But I think a lot of Jonathan Stewart was because of the relationship he had in the Carolina locker room, and I think that's probably has to be a big reason why he was brought to New York. But overall, you see the culture that's being established in the Giants locker room. But I gotta say, man, on the other side, the Washington Redskins, I mean, that team to me, like, I was talking to a friend of mine that I was watching the game with, and I said to him, I said, imagine if you're the owner of a team, or the Washington Redskins in this regard, and you're signing Mark Sanchez's game check after the game.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind? Like, just watching him and then signing his game check and just thinking to yourself, man.
Should have brought in Colin Kaepernick.
Not even Colin Kaepernick. There's so much better things I could be doing with this, you know, however much this money is, than giving it to Mark Sanchez. I mean, Daniel Snyder is such an awful owner. And I know John Mara has been incompetent over the past, you know, 3-4 years, but it's nothing compared to Daniel Snyder.
Yeah.
This guy.
Daniel Snyder makes John Mara look like Bob Kraft.
He makes him look like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
How just awful and dysfunctional the Redskins are. But on the flip side, good win for the Giants. Helps them continue to build their culture.
Yeah, no, you hit on a lot of good points. You know, I'll leave the John Stewart, Alec Ogletree narrative out of the culture building aspect because, to me, if you've got, you know, 37-year-old Eli Manning and you've got other veterans there, you know, you got a matured Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley who acts like he's been in the league for five, six years. You know, to me, you don't need a John Stewart. You don't need that cap space. And, you know, God knows the next members of the Dave Gettleman scholarship come next year. But, you know, Saquon is quite possibly the number one running back in the NFL.
You can take that quite possibly.
Given the circumstances that he has performed under, he's got a lame duck quarterback. He's got a makeshift, for the most part, off of, you know, the addition of Jamon Brown helps. But, for you know, like you said, Spencer Pulley, RFA, they could certainly upgrade the center position. They could certainly and hopefully will upgrade the right tackle position. For the most part, a makeshift offensive line. What he's done is absolutely tremendous, especially given the fact that if you look at Eli Manning's numbers pre-buy and post-buy, the number of, and God fucking bless Pat Shurmur for finally figuring this out because I have no clue why it took so long. The fact that Eli's average passing attempts per game has dropped by roughly 12. I believe he was averaging over 40 pre-buy, and he's now averaging in the high 20s post-buy. Finally realizing that you have a top two running back in the NFL, fucking use him, right? Use him, and I'll say this because I was very frustrated watching the Vikings on Monday Night Football. The stubbornness of some coaching staffs to when you've got a mediocre to bad offensive line to force the run to set up the pass when you can easily do the opposite, use the pass to set up the run. Finally, Pat Shurmur realizes, I have Saquon Barkley. I'm going to use the run to set up the pass. Take the ball out of Eli's hands. That's how you're going to win games. Now, on the other side of the ball, this is where it gets tough for me to judge the Giants as is because you know what you have in Eli Manning at this point. You know, maybe he'll make one nice throw a game. The throw to Corey Coleman was fucking beautiful. Drop in the bucket, right over one defender, before the safety could even come over the top and hit him. That was a gorgeous throw, right? You're going to get like one of those a game from Eli, and that's fine. On the defensive side of the ball, Grant Haley has been phenomenal in the slot. He's top five Pro Football Focus in terms of covering the slot. Janoris Jenkins is playing like he wants to be on this team next year, and that's awesome. You have to consider. You can't just disregard the fact that they're going up against Chase Daniel, Mark Sanchez, right? They're going up against garbage quarterbacks. So you have to take whatever you're seeing with the defense with a grain of salt. I think that applies less so to the rookies. B.J. Hill and Lorenzo Carter having back-to-back great games. You'll love to see it because for a rookie, it's development. For a veteran like Alec Ogletree, like I was arguing all day on Twitter, that sort of stuff is expected. You know, you look at how he was being graded earlier in the season, he was like in the 30s. And only now that he's gotten Chase Daniel and Mark Sanchez has his Pro Football Focus grades risen. You know, doesn't mean that his tackling has improved, which it hasn't. His tackling was awful and it still is awful. But people like to look at the sexy stats and they see, you know, he's got 5 interceptions on the season. That must mean, you know, his coverage isn't as bad as people think. I can think of, I guess, the interception against the Bears that prevented a Tariq Cohen touchdown when he fucking burned Landon Collins for the millionth time all game. You know, that stands out to me as a good play. I said this on Twitter, he's better than Uwanianga. He's better than what the Giants have had in the past, but it's like being the tallest midget in the room. At his current contract, I just hate to see that much money being eaten up by, you know, someone whose ceiling is being an average middle linebacker, if that makes any sense. But I'm happy to see both sides of the ball, that the offensive scheme and the defensive scheme, the players are starting to pick up on it and they're playing with more continuity. And we touched on it last week and the week before. It's culture building season, baby. You love to see the winning because it brings the locker room together. You teach the young guys how to win. You love that Pat Shurmur is keeping everyone together. It's why I was reluctant to jump on him earlier in the season. And I wanted to see how it played out because I saw him do it with the Vikings. You can't get much worse than Ben McAdoo. And watching him keep this locker room together, implement his scheme, and do it with a quarterback who is very much on the decline, very impressive, and you love to see it. So a lot of good stuff coming out of the Redskins game. And listen, the Giants are 2.5-point favorites at home against the Titans this coming Sunday. So
you know what else? You know what else I really liked?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they finally look like a competent offense.
Yes.
When Odell is on the field.
Yeah, they have an identity.
Like, yeah,
they finally have an identity.
I mean, Saquon, like the combination.
He is the identity.
Saquon,
the identity is Saquon.
Yeah, the combination of Saquon and Odell, to me, I mean, it could be possibly the best running back wide receiver duo in the NFL. Like,
oh,
I can't
absolutely.
Think of
No. It is. Don't let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, I mean, that's to me. Saquon is the identity. Odell is the heart. You know, like
yeah.
It's they're two players that I think will really feed off each other for the remainder of their career. So you gotta like, you know, the pieces that the Giants have in place for the future.
Oh, absolutely. You know what it's going to come down to, and we'll get into it when we get into the questions, is going to be, you know, finding that future quarterback.
Elephant in the room, right?
The elephant. It's always been in the room. It's been in the room forever. It's Eli Manning, and it's finding his replacement, whether it be Herbert, Haskins, Greer, or Tua Fromm. It might not be this year. I'll say this much. We'll save it for a little bit later because we want to discuss wild card playoff scenarios, but there is so much defensive talent in this draft. I drool. I literally drool watching these highlights.
I say one thing to you about that? Last year, a lot of people said, like we talked about the quarterbacks last year, right? Mm-hmm. And the big thing was only a couple of these guys are going to turn out to be, you know, real franchise guys, successful NFL quarterbacks. Like, you can't expect all five of them to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a narrative when we discussed the five quarterbacks.
Sure.
All these defensive linemen in this draft, I mean, there's talks of 3, 4, 5 of them going in the first round. I don't think all five of them are going to be, you know, elite defensive linemen.
No, but they're – oh, my God, dude. Quentin Williams from Bama.
And Nick Bosa.
And, of course, Bosa.
I'm not a Rashawn Gray fan from Michigan.
Sure. And then you get Devin White, linebacker. I mean, the defensive talent is off.
Josh Allen, Kentucky.
The defensive talent is off the goddamn charts. If you have a top 10 pick in this draft and you don't come away with a franchise player for your defense, I don't know what you're doing. I really don't.
We'll see.
Wild card scenarios. I can't believe we're talking about this.
It is an insane scenario that's a lot of steps. But when you look at it, like, the one thing that I have doubts in is the Giants running the table.
Yes.
Because when you look at their schedule, Tennessee this week, I think that's a winnable game for them, and I think they should be favorites.
Yep.
But the one that I have circled is at Indy.
Indy.
And Andrew Luck.
And offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, they can block up front. And listen, I know the secondary is playing better, but it's different when you're facing Andrew Luck versus Mark Sanchez and Chase Daniel. So that's the game where I think the Giants probably lose and this whole dream scenario comes to an end. But if you look at the other stuff, Packers losing one of their last three games.
Easy. Chicago. They're losing to Chicago.
Vikings losing 2 of 3. Vikings are all over the place. They're terrible. Kirk Cousins is up and down, mostly down. They play Miami at Detroit and then Chicago. Miami just had a crazy victory.
Yeah.
They could be building on something. They could build on that.
But here's the thing with Miami. Miami is such a wild card. I feel like they're missing so many pieces for the future, but this season they've been the definition of any given Sunday.
They just keep sticking around.
It's wild.
Like they're not going away. Like they're just like
they're mosquitoes.
Fly.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to see a wild card game with Ryan Tannehill.
No.
You know,
absolutely.
Like, get out of here. But they're there, you know, and
they
easily go into Minnesota and win, coming off a game where they, you know, won on a crazy Hail Mary, which is an insane play. I mean, I watched it 100 times and I'm just in shock.
Every single time my jaw drops.
At Detroit, that could potentially be a loss on the road in Detroit. I mean, who knows? And then on week 17, Chicago, again, you know, a good team that they're playing, that if they're playing for something, that could potentially be a loss.
Always.
The Panthers. New Orleans, LA,
Dave,
and New Orleans.
Dave Gettleman's Panthers.
I think that they could lose all
three. Fallen off the wagon.
I think they could lose all three of those games.
I agree. I don't think they have a chance against New Orleans either time. And Atlanta, you know, in division game against two teams that are flailing, you never know.
I mean, I think I'll be on record. I think the Panthers are going to lose the remainder of their three games.
Can I say something? I'm shocked more Giants fans aren't talking about Carolina's decline, given who our GM is right now.
But I think Carolina's decline has to do with the fact that their coaching over the course of the last 5 weeks has been really bad.
Fair.
Ron Rivera lost them some games.
Yeah.
In Detroit,
but so is Cam.
Cam is hurt. I mean, I think he's going to have shoulder surgery at the end of this. He could be headed on that Andrew Luck path where he misses an entire season because of a shoulder injury. Eagles losing two of their next three.
Absolutely losing.
At LA, Houston, Washington.
Yep.
I mean, listen, Carson Wentz. We have to have a discussion about Carson Wentz. Everyone labels him as his great quarterback. And when he's healthy, he has great moments. But we're starting to see a trend here. Rookie season, cracked ribs in the preseason. Last year, torn ACL. This year, he had the elbow injury. Now he has a back issue.
Yep.
Listen, the NFL is different than North Dakota State. North Dakota State, Carson Wentz was playing defensive linemen that were smaller than him.
Yeah.
It's different. So, Philly, I could easily see them losing two of those three. They're going to lose at LA this week. And then Houston coming there could be a division clinching game for them. I could see Houston winning there. And then the Redskins. I mean,
they're going to lose out.
Yeah. They're going to lose out at Jacksonville, at Tennessee, Philadelphia. And then I think the final one is Tampa Bay losing one game. I think that was a scenario too. That's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
My point is that a lot of these things, while it's a lot of stuff that needs to happen, a lot of it is stuff that you could see happening.
I know. This is miserable.
Winning the remainder of their games is going to be tough. And it's only going to, like, this whole conversation.
And that
is
Dallas
only
defense too, by the way. Yeah. Forget, we went right to Indy, but that Dallas defense is going to fuck up that offensive line.
I think that Week 17 Dallas game, Dallas is not going to be playing for anything.
Fair.
I don't think Dallas will be playing for anything. Now, Houston, like, the thing with Houston is against Philly, they could potentially be playing for a first-round bye.
Yeah.
You know, they have the same record with New England. New England goes to, I think they go to Pittsburgh this week. So, I mean, all these teams could be playing for something except Dallas, who the Giants play in Week 17. So, it is a scenario that's requires a lot, but it's a lot of stuff that you could see happen.
Take it 1 week at a time.
Yeah.
We got to take it 1 week at a time.
It's only going to get crazier. If the Giants win this week, right? Let's just look at this. If the Giants win this week at Tennessee, right? By the way, Tennessee just put Conklin on IR.
It's wild. It's like everything is falling into place.
Right? Packers at Chicago. I think Chicago's going to win, right?
Yeah.
Vikings, Miami. That's going to be the game everyone's going to be watching. Because that's the one game where there's a lot of doubt where the Miami can go in there and win.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers play New Orleans on Monday night.
That's a loss.
I think that's a loss. Eagles at the Rams. That's a loss. Redskins at Jacksonville. That's a loss. So those things are all things that we expect to happen.
Am I actually going to have to pay attention to Cody Kessler versus Mark Sanchez or Josh Johnson?
Well, it's going to be Josh Johnson, but I think Jackson was going to win that game.
Yeah.
The Redskins have quit.
So is Jacksonville.
Jacksonville has quit. But I don't think they've quit to that degree.
Oh, man, I don't know. You look at some of these missed tackles, they don't give a shit.
Did you see Mason Foster, the Redskins linebacker, who, like, a fan sent him a DM saying, you know, keep your head high, you know, you're playing well. And he responds, fuck this team and this fan base.
I didn't see that. That's unreal.
Then he accuses players on his team. This is a DM to a fan on Instagram that there are players on this team getting paid who don't do shit.
Oh my god! I'm gonna Twitter this right now. Hold on. Who was it?
Mason Foster, and I think he's actually a defensive captain too, which is even more crazier.
Fuck this team and fuck this fan base.
So, like, at Jacksonville. You know, I don't know, man. I think Jacksonville's going to win that game. So you look at these things, then the big one that people are going to be watching is that Miami Vikings game, because that's the only game where there is some sort of doubt that whether or not that could happen. The other stuff, I mean, it's likely to happen.
Right.
So it's only going to get crazier, but unfortunately, I don't think the Giants win at Indy. That's where this whole dream ends.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
It is fun.
Keeps us entertained.
Competitive football is sort of foreign to most of us. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
All right. Let's get into some draft stuff.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins.
He has a weird love affair. Well, not a weird, but he has a love affair with the Giants. Love affair.
Could you blame any quarterback? You had the chance to get drafted to play with Odell and Saquon?
Yeah. Potentially sit, you know, for a couple games, learn from Eli Manning.
It is the perfect situation for Dwayne Haskins.
Like, if you're a young quarterback, would you rather go to Oakland where they don't have a home next year?
Right.
And there's mice in their soda machines?
Yeah. Or Jacksonville?
Yeah, and play on a baseball field in Oakland, or, you know, go to Jacksonville where, you know, Jalen Ramsey could call you trash and they'd GQR.
Oh my God.
Go to Jacksonville where, you know, you're throwing a D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah, exactly. There are very few situations as good as the Giants, especially if you know you're going to sit here and they're going to work on that on both lines.
And it's New York. Like, if you come to New York, it's like there's so much potential, not only on the field where if you win, you're a superhero.
Right.
But, like, from a financial side, from a business side, like, there's investments here. Like, there's nothing to do in Jacksonville.
Nothing.
Jacksonville is like the stop you make when you're traveling to Disney World. Like, you stop in Jacksonville. Like, other than that, who goes to Jacksonville?
Yeah, you become and, like one of the most marketable guys in the world. Look at what Odell's done. Look at what Saquon's just got a billboard outside of MSG.
Yeah, just wait for it. Just wait for it. Oakland, the Warriors are about to move to San Francisco. And what else is there to do to Oakland?
Nothing.
Tampa Bay? I mean, what are you going to do in Tampa Bay? I mean, I get the no sales tax in Florida, but I mean, you can make so much money in New York.
Herbert or Haskins?
Me? Yeah. Here's what I'll say about these quarterbacks. I'm not a guy that, you know, says we have to take a quarterback for the sake of taking a quarterback. It's difficult to find Patrick Mahomes. It's difficult to find, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And you don't just take a guy for the sake of taking a guy. Last year, I felt legitimately that there was a franchise quarterback there at number two for the Giants.
I agree.
They didn't take it. Fine, whatever. I'm very happy with Saquon Barkley. I'm not complaining. He's exceeded my expectations. But here's my fear in all this, that the Giants waste this talent. That's what I fear.
Mm-hmm.
So you asked me with these quarterbacks. I'm not, like, blown away by any of these guys.
Me neither.
Like, I spoke about this last week, and I still have to watch more, and there's still a long process that needs to be played out. We still need to wait to the combine, and Haskins is playing in a bowl game, and just so is Justin Herbert. There's a lot more to, like, go over, and I'll probably go back and I'll watch some more All-22 coach film.
You're going to watch the All-22?
I'm going to watch the All-22 on Attaboy. Some of these guys.
Attaboy.
And there's still more information I want to gather before I make an opinion, an educated one, because I'm not in the field of, hey, we got to draft a quarterback for the sake of drafting a quarterback. So right now, I still lean more toward Herbert, but I'm not, you know, neither of these guys really, like, are, like, blowing me away.
Yeah,
I appreciate that Haskins is a Giants fan. I think it's great. I respect it. You know, maybe him and I can get together. We can talk Giants. We can probably, you know, watch a Tennessee game together. Hey, I'm all for it. But when it comes to drafting, I'm not – to me, it's not, I need a quarterback, I got to go draft one regardless who's there. Or I need a right tackle, I need to go take this right. No, I'm not. I've told people this so many times. A draft, for me, I don't look at it like, oh, it's a grocery store. Let me go pluck a right tackle off the shelf. Let me go pluck a linebacker off the shelf. That's not what this is. So, yeah.
But we've spoken about it before, right? Like, and people accused us all last year of just wanting to draft a quarterback for the sake of drafting a quarterback. And that, you know, that's far from the case. And you look at... I just said it earlier. I'm drooling over some of this defensive talent in this draft. Go get me a Deontay Thompson to pair with Landon Collins. Get, like, a true free safety. Go get me Quentin Williams. Go get me that baller that you can just put in the middle of your defensive line who's going to ruin people's days and shit in people's cereals every Sunday. It's, you know, it's tough. Now, I'll say this. As much as I love the defensive talent, and I expect the Giants to win at least one more football game. I know a few weeks ago, I said the exact opposite, but given how they've played as of late and given how everything is shaking out and they just put Conklin on IR, I think the Giants have a very good chance of beating Tennessee. I'll say this. Neither Herbert nor Haskins blows me away. I think both of them are very raw, but here's the issue. Look at what you have on the Giants right now. You've got some young pieces on the defense, needs a lot of work. On the offense, the line is starting to come together. You have the best running back wide receiver duo in the entire NFL already on the team. With 1 year under Pat Shurmur, next season, your floor is, your absolute floor should be, I'll say, 5 wins. And that's if things go wrong, like very wrong. Like you have some devastating injuries.
Are you saying with the rookie quarterback?
No, I'm saying as is.
Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your floor is 5 wins. And again, we need to see their schedule. You see this team with the talent given in a year under Pat Shurmur, plus a draft and some free agency acquisitions. You see 8-8, right, next year?
I mean, possibly. I mean, but I saw 10-6 this year, so right. I can't say no. So
let's
yeah.
just say for all intents and purposes, let's say 8-8 next year, right?
Yeah.
You got a middle of the road draft pick. You got Eli Manning on the last year of his contract. Now you find yourself in the situation where, oh fuck, I have to take this year's first, this year's third, next year's first, and 2 years from now's second and third, and I got to package all that to move up to number one or two to take Fromm or Tua. You don't want to be in that situation, which was very much part and still part of my frustration with skipping over a quarterback in this year's draft. If the Giants are picking, I don't know, what are they projected to pick now? 10th?
Yeah, 10th, 9th, yeah.
If Herbert or Haskins falls into your lap, it's going to be very hard for me to say, pass, let me take the best defensive player available, because I still have a bunch of picks this year. I have the quarterback that I can groom behind Eli, and I have all my picks next year. Let him learn. Let him develop. He's going to have two studly offensive weapons. He's going to have a much more improved defense in 2020, and you hit the ground running then. Because honestly, even if you were to throw Haskins or Herbert behind center starting day one next year, I still think with the rookie mistakes, the floor is what you're getting out of Eli Manning. But given the contract situation and given the uncertainty surrounding the quarterback situation, I do think he's back next year at a much reduced cap hit. But if one of these guys falls into your lap at pick number 10, I'm inclined to take a chance on him. I'm even inclined to take a chance on someone like Will Greer in maybe the second round. It's still early. I don't know where he's being projected to go. Maybe it's, you know, Mahomes territory where, you know, he was originally a second or third and then he goes day one. But I am very inclined to take a chance on a quarterback this year if the right guy falls to them. Again, if the Giants end up with like the 7th pick and Herbert and Haskins both go top 5 and you get Deontay Thompson falling into your lap, I'm thrilled. I am thrilled. But if given the opportunity, at this point, I'm not in love with these guys like I was with Baker, like I was with Rosen. But I see a lot of potential, and I see them being raw. And I still think that, you know, you can draft guys like that and properly develop them, especially when you have someone like Pat Shurmur.
The only argument I have with that is when it comes to the quarterback position, it's much different to me than any other position. You know, if you don't have conviction and you don't think that it can't be a situation where, you know, oh, you know, I have to take one now because I might be picking, you know, outside the top 10 next year. Or I got to take one.
And I get it. And I normally side with you, but it's tough given what the Giants did in this past year's draft. It is.
I completely understand.
Because people make the argument, oh, why don't you just bring Teddy over? Teddy has to want to come.
Yeah. And you talk about next year plan. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I'm sort of 50-50. I don't think the decision has been made on Eli Manning.
No,
I think people are just putting stuff out like, oh, you know, he's guaranteed to come back. I don't think that's the case at all.
Me neither. I think nothing has been decided yet.
No, absolutely not. I don't think that I certainly don't think they're going to fall into the same trap as they did last year and think this roster is we can just, you know, tape holes here and there and come back.
Listen, there's a reason that Dave Gettleman was at Oregon scouting Justin Herbert weeks ago.
Yeah, I do think they understand they need to find a quarterback of the future. But And unless you have a conviction, and this is where I agree with Gettleman, unless you have a conviction on a guy, you know, see, the thing is, I agree with Gettleman's stance that you have to have conviction on a guy. I just don't agree that last year.
None of these guys are touched by the hand of God.
Exactly. I just don't agree with that. But I do agree that when it comes to the quarterback position, you have to have conviction about him. And if you don't, and you're just saying, well, you're panicking because of what could happen next year, the following year, I just don't think you can do that, man. I don't. And I think it's still a top 10 pick, you know. And if you don't think that this guy can be the franchise quarterback of your football team, you can't just say, I'm just going to take him for the sake of taking him. First of all, if you take a quarterback, right, and you plug him behind Eli Manning, as soon as Eli Manning plays bad, you know.
But we're doing that already with Lauletta.
I understand, but the thing with Lauletta is people with common sense realize that the only reason people said, you and I or many other people said Lauletta has to play was not because of, hey.
We think he's the answer. It's not like Davis Webb idiots.
It wasn't even that thinking like it wasn't that he is the answer, he's the heir apparent. It's because this is a lost season. You used draft capital on this guy. You used a fourth round pick. You deserve to put him in there, just like you're putting in B.J. Hill, because wins don't matter.
Right.
Right? You traded away Damon Harrison so you could play B.J. Hill. Well, now the season is lost. Your offense is not going anywhere. So you play the young quarterback to see what you have. These are quality snaps for his development. Whereas you take a Dwayne Haskins or you take a Justin Herbert, you know, in the first round in the top 10, you know, it won't be sit and learn. It'll be, you're going to play as soon as Eli Manning plays bad. And given New York, given this city and how it's so tough to be a rebuilding team here, you have Eli here. Eli Pitt plays bad in the game one or game two. This is why I don't think the whole keep Eli here, develop the young quarterback is going to work. Because Eli's mindset is, shit, if I play bad, you know, I'm gone. They're going to bench me. And it's going to create just a whole controversy with everything. So it's a tough situation where the Giants are in right now. This is why
this is why I don't care about the controversy. If you've got a good leader like Pat Shurmur and you got a veteran,
but you
like
have
Eli,
to, because it affects your locker room. That's the point. It's going to affect your locker room.
It's only going to affect the locker room if you don't have strong leadership. Like last year, when you literally had defensive players going to the media telling people that Eli Manning literally cannot beat cover two. Right? You didn't see any of that the first 8 weeks of this season because Pat Shurmur held everything together. Teams go through this all the time. The Giants went through it with Warner and Eli, like however long ago that was.
There was some stuff coming out this year about how players thought that Eli Manning was finished. And I don't mean just players, people in the organization.
Yeah, so, Mark Ross before the season.
No. I'm talking about people with the organization this year.
Whatever. Point is, teams go through it all the time. The Giants have gone through it before. It's nothing new, and it shouldn't stop them from making any decision
with you. In a perfect world, Eli comes in, grooms the young quarterback, and takes over in a perfect world. But as we've seen, you know, it never is a perfect ending with this thing. You know, that's why it's best that if you have the guy in the draft and that's the guy you want, there's no point of me keeping Eli around, because, you know, Eli's whole mindset is, I want to win, and I want to win now with the remaining years that I have left. I'm not here to groom your young quarterback. And that's not exactly what Eli Manning will say, but that's going to be his mindset. Eli doesn't want to spend his last couple years in the NFL or year in the NFL, you know, getting Dwayne Haskins ready for 2020 or 20, whenever he takes over. So it's a tough predicament that they're in. I don't think, unless they have conviction on a guy, they should go take him. I certainly don't have a conviction on any of these two. Time will tell. I mean, things happen. There's still a long process. But they're in a tough spot right now in terms of draft-wise on finding the successor. And listen, here's the thing. They did this to themselves. Let's say Herbert and Haskins declare. Quarterbacks always go high.
Absolutely. Both these guys are going to go top 10.
I think top 10, I'll shoot you one further. I think there's a chance they could go top 5.
I don't know.
Listen,
I think one of them will go top 5. Both definitely top 10.
This time last year, people had Baker Mayfield going in the second round of the draft or in the bottom of the first round.
Not me.
He went in the But he went in the first round, right?
Right.
I'm telling you, teams get desperate. Jacksonville is desperate, right?
The Raiders might be desperate.
Broncos
are desperate.
I understand Derek Carr and John Gruden has already come out. They've gotten rid of just about everybody associated with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
They got rid of his GM. They got rid of Amari Cooper. They got rid of Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
What makes you think they won't? They're about to get rid of the stadium that Derek Carr plays in because they're going to open Coliseum. What makes you think they won't get rid of Derek Carr, especially if they're picking one or two? So I certainly think that Haskins and Herbert could easily go in the top five. Easily.
All right. Should we get into some questions? Because a lot of them are draft related.
Yeah.
Cool. From Jake, has Haskins grown on you completely? Or do you address the defense? He's grown on me a lot.
Yeah, he's grown on me a lot. Absolutely. He's played two games. That Michigan game, big game. Big game. Played well.
Big game, Dwayne.
Conference championship game, big game. Played well. We're going to see him against Washington, who is a very, very good defense in the Rose Bowl. We're going to see how he plays in that game, too.
From Cam, would you rather keep winning or lose out?
Keep winning.
Keep winning.
To me, it's winning is the name of the game.
Just keep winning. If they win out, is Eli back next year? I don't know if I can take another year of the Eli Twitter people. I think he's back regardless. Because the quarterback position is so uncertain that they'll just say, "Hey, take a cut and come back."
I think it's 50-50. But I think with the whole pay cut thing, it's tough, man. This guy's your legendary franchise quarterback. Going up to him and saying that, "Hey, we need you to take a pay cut." What happens if he says no?
See ya.
but that's the thing, though, is that what other option do you have?
You say see ya. Because even Eli's not dumb enough to do that. He knows that it's coming to the end. Say, we'll keep you around. You'll be the starter. But in order to do that, we need to surround you with more pieces to succeed. So take a pay cut.
I don't know, man. I mean, the guy had a no trade clause in his contract put in.
Well, most players with contracts like that do.
But my point is that if he says no, then you tell him bye bye, and who are you left with the quarterback?
Yeah.
So this is why the easiest solution
Josh
to
McCown.
Me, the easiest solution to me in all this, is to say, look, thank you for your service, but it's time to go in a different direction.
I'd be fine with that.
Because all this pay cut and this and that, all it's going to do is create more questions and create more issues. To me, that's what it does.
Give me one player that has fallen below your expectations and one that has exceeded them.
Fallen below my expectations.
Yep.
Evan Ingram.
Below.
He's fallen below my expectations. Okay. Yeah, I expected more out of him.
Above?
Above. Above my expectation. Wow.
It's not BJ
Hill. BJ Hill.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. If you watch the All 22, watch the All 22 and watch BJ Hill.
All right. That's the listener's homework.
Yeah.
Watch
the All-22.
For me, it's Ogletree, fell way below, obviously. I was very high on him. Couldn't have been more wrong. Above is tough. Above is really, really tough. I'm trying to think here. Aldrick Rosas.
That's a pro. Should be a Pro Bowler.
He will be. He should be.
Hope so.
From another Jake, Haskins and Herbert both go back to school, and the Giants pick top 15. Should they go defensive line or defensive back?
It's not a grocery store. I keep trying to tell people, man. Okay, fine. Let's say the perfect prospects are there: defensive end and defensive back. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one am I taking? I'll probably go the pass rusher.
Yeah, me too. This guy wants you to talk about your fight with Carl Banks.
my fight with Carl Banks.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't really a fight.
It was a little bit of a fight.
I mean, listen.
He pisses me off so much.
Here's the thing about Carl Banks. Carl Banks is a legendary Giants linebacker. I've had the luxury of meeting Carl Banks.
Carl Banks is also an employee of the team.
He's also an employee of a team. But here's the thing that makes me angry about Carl Banks. I respect people who have an opinion. If you tell me, yeah, hey, listen, I think Eli Manning deserves to be back next year. I think he can play another couple years. That's your opinion. I respect that. I respect your opinion.
But you're
I
wrong.
Might disagree with you. I might disagree with you, but I respect you having a opinion. Carl Banks doesn't have an opinion. I don't like people that don't have an opinion, but then go after you because you have an opinion.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, Carl, what is your plan? You know, like, Carl Banks, you work for the team. I listen to you, go on the radio. I hear the stuff you say. You know, he came after me because I said that, you know, I don't think that the Giants should waste prime years of Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham mm-hmm. by trying to rekindle something with Eli Manning.
Right.
My whole point in that is I don't think that those two guys can carry Eli Manning. You know, like they won't be able to win games in this league where your quarterback throws 17, 18, 19 times a game.
Right.
It's not going to happen. It will happen against these backup quarterbacks that you're facing. But in a league where people figure things out, you know, as great as Saquon is, there will be games where he is contained. And when he is, you're going to need your quarterback to make plays.
Your defense is so bad that if you go up against a high caliber offense, you're not going to be able to keep up.
Right. So he sort of came after me and said, you know, well, what's your plan? And I said, listen, my plan is simply I don't pay Eli Manning $23 million next season.
Yeah.
And he continued to try to, you know, make snarky comments at me. In the end, I just said, you know what, Carl? You know what my plan is? Bring Eli Manning back, start 1-5, finish 6-10, talk myself into believing I'm close again, and do it again the next year.
Yep.
And Carl continued to take jazz at me. He has this whole fan club that came after me a little bit. And
he just listened to whatever
called
he says.
Me names. And listen, my whole thing is, gist of this all is, if you have an opinion, I respect that. You know, you have the right to an opinion. And we can discuss. It's fun to discuss. I love discussing things
me
with
too.
People. Especially about the Giants, because we're all fans at the end of the day. But don't sit there when I offer an opinion. Don't sit there and tell me, you know, or discourage my opinion or throw my opinion away, but then be the guy that doesn't have an opinion at all.
Yeah.
What's your plan, Carl? What would you do? So it wasn't really a fight. I mean, I understand. I respect Carl Banks, what he's done, you know, as a Giant. He's a legend, you know, good businessman too. Yeah. But that's that.
We tried to get him on like a while ago.
His
assistant
I
dropped the ball.
He's a smart dude.
Yeah.
But I just think that he works for the team and, you know, he's a former player and Eli Manning is a big part of this organization. And there's some sentiment there with fans and former players. And I get it. I totally get it. There's sentiment there with me too. But my opinion is at some point you have to move on.
Yeah.
The 49ers moved on from Joe Montana. The Colts moved on from Peyton Manning. The Packers moved on from Brett Favre.
It's time.
Sometimes it's eventually everybody moves on. Nobody gets to retire holding the Lombardi Trophy and ride off into the sunset, right?
Yep.
So it's never pretty, you know. So that's just my opinion, but I guess Carl didn't like that opinion.
No. But let's see. What other Giants rookies besides Saquon this season have impressed you from Anthony, BJ Hill?
BJ Hill for me.
And recently Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, me, it's BJ Hill.
Yeah.
Lorenzo Carter is still raw. He does some things, but BJ Carter just looks like a guy that is.
BJ Hill.
BJ Hill, I'm sorry.
I said BJ Carter.
Sorry. BJ Hill looks like a real good football player. Guy that can turn out to be a really, really good centerpiece for the Giants defense.
Yeah. Let's do one more. Do we think from Devin? Do we think keeping Corey Coleman next year is a return man? I'm down. I like Corey Coleman.
Sure.
I like what I've seen so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's bring him back. I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm down.
I'm down. All right, that's it for questions. Thank you if you submitted. Sorry if we didn't get to it. Actually, do I have one more? Yeah, I got one more. I promised Brendan I would read this one because he asked last week and I forgot. It's from Brendan. Do you guys think Janoris Jenkins is back due to his increase in production over the last few weeks? Thanks. He's played well. Again, it's against poor defenses, but he, you know, earlier in the season it looked like, you know, he didn't want to be here, and now he's playing tough. So I respect that. I don't think the Giants are going to be able to do much better. And it would be very helpful to have him here with Grant Haley and Sam Beal.
Do you think the Giants win on Sunday?
Yeah, I do, actually.
You do? Me too.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes there's certain players that just light the team up, and Saquon is on an insane run right now.
He's on a run right now.
605 yards.
Nuts.
Since the bye week.
It's insane.
He's special, man.
He is. I think they win. I really do.
But Tennessee's tricky, man. They're like Miami.
I know. They don't go away. They beat the Patriots. 1 week that defense is good. 1 week it's a new day. All right. That's it. Anything else?
The Titans are 2-0 against the NFC East. They beat Philly and they beat Dallas.
That's true. Yeah.
It's tricky, man. I think the Giants will win, but I'm not confident in saying that.
Yeah. Dude, imagine if I nail my prediction, my preseason prediction. That'd be nuts.
What was your preseason prediction?
I think 7-9, but I had them winning like 6 of their games in the back half of the season.
People shouldn't call you negative.
No. I got to go back and listen to see what I had. That's it. Subscribe, iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Follow me on Twitter at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. StatementGames.com, guys. Enter. Weiss and I will be entering. We'll be tweeting out the link all week until game day. Chance to win 2 tickets. That's nice. 2 tickets. Good seats, too. Corner end zone. I forget if it's in the teens or if it's in, like, the like 120s, but still good seats. Potentially for Eli's last game, potentially a meaningful game for the New York Giants. So make sure to sign up and play with us, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace.